May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 25. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with thy all-quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. Hymn number 25.
Let us read together from the Word of God, The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12. We will read the first 23 verses. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12, reading the first 23 verses. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law, how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, and are blameless? But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed, and said, Is not this the Son of David? May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us, and help us to call upon his name at the throne of grace. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt look down upon this little company of people that have gathered together and in thy name. And we do trust with a desire to seek thy face, to worship thee this evening hour, that we may enter again into a little of the sweetness of union and communion with thee, or that we may each come forth, we pray thee, under the refreshing and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, so needful to us as we have sung together in our first hymn. Oh, we do need thee, Lord, to come unto each one of us, to enlighten us, to enliven us, to bring us nearer to thyself, Lord, and away from all things else beside, that thou wouldest be pleased to reveal thyself to us each this evening hour, the altogether lovely one. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may feel a need of thee, Lord. And may there be a desire in our poor souls for thy name, for thy worship, for thy word, for thy truth. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that our gathering together this evening hour may not be a time of emptiness, but, oh, a time of that fullness that is in the Lord Jesus, the fullness that is in his gospel, and that fullness laid up for poor needy sinners, those who have come seeking a living morsel of bread from thy gospel table. Oh Lord, what a mercy it would be if we are all beggars this evening hour, hungering and thirsting. Oh then, Lord, it shall be of thy Spirit. And oh, we do believe, Lord, that thou wilt appear, and unto each one to fill them with thy goodness. For only thou satisfieth the longing soul and fillest the hungry soul with goodness. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt come to each case and each need this evening hour. Oh, we do believe, Lord, that we have each presented our prayers before thee. We have each told thee, Lord, our deep concerns, those things that concern us, trouble our poor hearts, those things, Lord, that we want thee to do for us. O Lord, we do pray, send none empty away this evening hour, but come to each and every one, and we do pray that they may be brought to see that thou art indeed that one who did come to seek out to save lost sinners, that one to come to their case and their need. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt appear to each one, draw each soul to thee, and bless with answers of peace to all their prayers and petitions, we pray thee. And Lord, may they be those prayers of faith, that looking up unto thee, that waiting upon thee, a patient waiting upon thee, that thou wouldest be pleased to show thy will, thy purposes, thy grace, thy love and mercy to sinners, we pray thee. And, O Lord, we do know that there is no case, no need that is too far gone, that thou art able, Lord, to appear and to abound, for thou art that one who is indeed merciful, kind and gracious. Nothing is too hard for thee. Thou art able, Lord, to come to every case, no difficulty. And all pray that thy people may come in that trust and confidence of thy name, for thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or do or think. And so, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come. Let our time and gathering together be a good time, profitable time. Reveal thyself to each one of us. And all we read in thy word, O Lord, he led them forth by a right way, even unto the city of habitation. Lord, may we know that leading, or may we know that teaching of thy Spirit, that thou wilt be with each one of us in all our paths, in all our goings forth. Be a guide unto us, as thou, Lord, wast indeed that one, a cloud by day and a fire by night, to bring thy people through that vast wilderness, that they should follow thee. And so, Lord, be unto us the good shepherd, going before the sheep to lead them and to guide them. But, O Lord, there may be some here, Lord, who feel that they want to be one of those sheep, that they want to be know the blessing of what it is to be found in that pasture of grace, and that thou art the door into the sheepfold. As seekers, Lord, and we prayerfully commit them unto thee, that thou wouldest come in thy rich mercy. For thou didst come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, what a mercy it is, Lord, to know and feel that we're lost. Oh, but Lord, seeking, suing, pressing, or to know in earnest their election sure through Jesus and his cross. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt come unto such that are truly seekers at this time, and that thou wouldest be the door unto them. And we believe that that door, dear Lord, is thy cross, and where they might know the blessedness, the sweetness of their peace and pardon through thy precious sin, atoning blood. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear unto them, that thou wouldest, Lord, enlarge thine inheritance, and that it may be in this little corner of thy vineyard, that there may be those indeed that shall come forth bearing testimony and witness to what thou hast done for their souls. May none be ashamed of thee, Lord. May none be ashamed of that all-precious name of Jesus and Saviour. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt come, that this little company of people may again rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. And so, Lord, we commit these things to thee, that thou wouldest be pleased, Lord, to show thyself in thy rich power and thy mercy to sinners, and to pluck brands from the burning. So, Lord, we do pray, come in thy rich mercy. Thou knowest how that we pray for those that are near and dear to us, and those connected with us, Lord, in worship, those in our families, those in relationships. Oh, Lord, we prayerfully commit each and every one to thee, those who we've gathered with for many years now, those that continue to come to the means of grace. O you, Lord, we do pray that that divinely appointed time may truly be fixed, Lord, where thou wilt gather. O those ordained to eternal life, may each pray to be in that little remnant, Lord, saved by and through grace, and it is abundant grace, grace that can cover all our sins and iniquities, grace that can abound over all the wretchedness of our lives. O Lord, may they know that grace that saves sinners. Draw them, we pray thee, Lord, by the cords of thy love to thyself, Lord, we pray thee. And there are those, Lord, with whom we know, and Lord, are careless and neglectful of their never dying immortal souls, unmindful, Lord, that there is an eternity before them. We do not know any one of us when we shall enter into that eternity. Oh, we must not think that we have many days upon the earth. But oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt come to them, Lord. Remove from their hearts, Lord, all those things that bind them to this world. Remove him that dwells within the strong man armed, even Satan. Oh, do come to them, Lord. Show to them their need as sinners. Deliver them from all the vanities of this life. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt in thy rich mercy save and redeem. And Lord, we pray as we consider these things that thou wilt again revive thy work in the midst of the years. Oh, in the midst, Lord, of this nation of ours, which lieth in wickedness, Lord. There is none that seek thy face, Lord. There is none that have the fear of the Lord in their hearts, Lord. Oh, they all go forth according to the dictates of their own hearts by nature, which is a heart indeed very solemnly in trespasses and in sins. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wouldest again favour us, and that there may be a reviving. Oh, do, Lord, come in thy rich mercy. Change hearts, Lord, those that have the rule over us and in government, and do go forth, Lord, the very solemn truth against Holy Scripture, against thy word. And Lord, they strive against thee, Lord, and they do not know, Lord, the solemn truth of that damnation which shall come upon all sinners and upon all wickedness and all those that indeed walk contrary to the light of Scripture. O Lord, change hearts, we pray thee. And in this vicinity, Lord, around us here, oh, that thou wouldest turn the feet of others into this place. Oh, we pray, Lord, then, come in thy rich mercy, save and redeem. And pray then, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years made known, in wrath, remember mercy. Oh, we do pray, Lord, subdue all sin. Let not sin have dominion over us, Lord. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, our many and chief complaints, Lord, the solemn truth of our sad wandering hearts, Lord, the carnality, the waywardness, Lord, and all the evil that is found in word and thought and deed, Lord. Oh, come and have mercy upon us, Lord. Save us, we pray thee, by and through that precious blood of thine. May we feel its healing balm, Lord. delivering and saving, Lord. Oh, we're unworthy, Lord, of all thy mercies, Lord. Oh, we cannot keep ourselves, Lord. Oh, do come, Lord, and work in us thy will and thy power, Lord. And oh, that we may know more and more what it is to follow thee in grace, in love, Lord. Thou art able to do it, Lord. And we do pray to the glory of thy name. Watch over thy people here, Lord. This cause of truth, Lord. Oh, do continue to visit them, Lord, in and through the word, the preaching of the gospel, Lord. Send thy word, Lord, through thy servants to them. Open their hearts to hear and to receive that word, Lord. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that that word may be truly edifying, may build each one up, Lord, and that they may grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray thee. And oh, we do pray, Lord, be with those, Lord, who are indeed deacons, Lord, and are in thy hand, Lord, in respect of this cause of truth. Give them grace and wisdom, Lord, to depend and to trust in and upon thee for all things, to be enabled, Lord, in the ministry and in the preaching of the gospel this time and season, this year, the invitations to ministers. Oh, do, Lord, help them. Oh, may it be, Lord, that thou wouldest be pleased to send the gospel grace of our God amongst them. And that, Lord, through that word, thou wouldest indeed be pleased to come to thy people, to all their needs spiritually, Lord, but also, Lord, that thou wilt answer all their prayers and petitions, we pray thee. So be with them, keep them and preserve them. May there be an enlarging in numbers here to the glory of thy name. We do pray, Lord, help thy servants to preach the gospel. May thy gospel have free course, Lord, in this land of ours. We pray thee. We thank thee, Lord, that we have the freeness and the liberty to worship. O Lord, let it be so, we pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, for each of thy sent servants. Help them to stand forth upon the walls of Zion as true watchmen, watching for the souls of thy people, preaching thine everlasting gospel. So, Lord, be their helper and all-sufficient one. We pray for thy servant now, Lord. Look down upon him, Lord. Speak to him through thy spirit, Lord. Put thy rich gospel grace, a rich treasure, into his earthen vessel. And oh, that thou wouldest through thy spirit help him to preach and to proclaim thy gospel, and that it may come forth with power, Lord, unction of thy spirit, into the hearts and lives of thy people here, Lord. Come then, Lord, we pray thee. May thy name have all the glory and the praise. We ask these things with the pardon and the forgiveness of all our sins, and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 792. Faith in the bleeding Lamb, oh what a gift is this! Hope of salvation in his name, how comfortable 'tis. 792.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12, reading together from verse 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 12, reading together from verse 20 and 21. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. We may know and understand the Spirit of the Lord to be that alone that shall make a distinction between real religion and false religion. It must be by the power of God, whereby a poor sinner is brought to feel their need of a Saviour, and it is in that power that the Lord will be pleased to work and wrought in the heart of the sinner to change them, to regenerate them, to sanctify them, to pardon and forgive all their sins. And this is what it will produce, dear friends. A bruised reed and a smoking flax. Can this be a distinction of real and true religion? A bruised reed and a smoking flax? Would you agree with me in that? There's much false religion about today, dear friends. And I don't see many bruised reeds and smoking flaxes. See it in this way, dear friends. The scribes and the Pharisees wouldn't be able to understand what Paul wrote to the church at Rome in the 7th chapter of the Romans. When he would do good, evil was present with him. These scribes and Pharisees that we've read together here, they wouldn't understand that, dear friends. And they were a religious lot, weren't they? They wouldn't be able to understand the truth that in me, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Or they wouldn't be able to understand that. They wouldn't be able to understand the truth of this body of death that Paul spoke of. No. Paul was a bruised reed, dear friends, and a smoking flax. You see. See it in those two that went to pray. The one that went up in his prayer, so full of himself. A Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not as much as lift up his head, dear friends, smiting upon his poor breast. What was his trouble, dear friends? What plagued him? What burdened his poor soul? He was guilty. What was it, dear friends? It was a bruised reed and a smoking flax. He was struggling. But this is the one that the Lord looked upon. This is the one that the Lord heard. This is the one that the Lord came to and delivered him. This bruised reed and smoking flax. No, I do believe this, dear friends, that this has got a lot to do with true religion, a good beginning. And that beginning is with God, dear friends. Jesus takes knowledge of these. It was a word prophesied in Isaiah 42. And Jesus took that word. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. What was it, dear friends, that was Paul's blessing and Paul's hope? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Dear friends, this one that speaks here, this most blessed Lord and Saviour, a bruised reed shall he not break, nor quench the smoking flax. Do we know something about this, dear friends? This word came upon my spirit this morning and had a few thoughts about it. And I don't mind being one of these bruised reeds, dear friends, and these smoking flaxes. Why, dear friends? Because it will cover all my infirmities, my afflictions, and my poor heart, dear friends, the waywardness that is found in it by nature, the evil of it. And I confess it and confess it to the Lord. And this is my only hope here, as that publican. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That was the cry of the bruised reed and smoking flax. And it's my cry. But wow, there's mercy in these words, dear friends, because he won't break the bruised reed nor quench the smoking flax. You know, the reed is that grows up through the shallow waters, as it were. It grows to a height, but then perhaps the winds and the tempest might come and beat upon that reed, and it begins to bow, dear friends, like a bulrush bows over, dear friends. And then the smoking flax. And the truth of that smoking flax, it's a smoking flax. You know, when you see the flax burning, dear friends, it's like when it's just lit, just glimmering, and it's black, isn't it? The wick, it's just black, you see, just holding on, as it were. And that is where we are at times, isn't it, dear friends? Yes. But the Lord knows all about these bruised reeds and smoking flaxes. He will never let them break. And he will never let them burn out, dear friends. Quench? No. We may come into some low places, dear friends, and we do. But he will never let them go out. I was just looking at the opposite page to this, dear friends, in chapter 11. And poor John Baptist, he was in prison and he was in trouble, dear friends, no doubt about that. He who had faithfully preached the gospel, the forerunner that went before Jesus, and dear friends, he loved to preach the gospel. He pointed to Jesus. This is he that should come to save his people from their sins, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he loved it, dear friends. He embraced the dear Lord and his poor soul. Now in prison, a bruised reed, smoking flax. He that had such zeal upon his spirit for the preaching of the gospel, the word, you see. And he sent his two disciples to the Lord Jesus. And he said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Oh, this poor man. You see where we can come, dear friends. You know, in almost in a moment of time. And he was a faithful minister. Herod had put him in the prison. He told him that it was not lawful that he should take Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for himself. And he was right, wasn't he? He was faithful. Now he's cast down. Now he's troubled. And Jesus sent his disciples to him. Go show John again. Oh, that word again. That is the word, dear friends, that lifted John up. Go show John again. Cause his soul to live again. Lift him up again. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And they went and told John. Oh, and I do believe his poor soul was strengthened. I do believe that. And I believe he was made ready. He didn't know that he was going to be beheaded, but I believe it prepared him. Because, dear friends, Jesus, he will not break the bruised reed, nor quench the smoking flax. He won't. He will never do it. And it might be a hope, dear friends, for some poor soul here. We pass through many changes, and we can't keep ourselves. John couldn't sustain his poor soul in his trouble. Only the Lord. What a mercy it is. A bruised reed shall he not break. Smoking flax shall he not quench. This is what I want, dear friends, for my religion and nothing else. So many changes. I meet with so many opposites. I do. I'm no different to John the Baptist. I have a wicked heart by nature, dear friends. And it troubles me. But I've lived to experience this, that Jesus will not break the bruised reed, nor quench the smoking flax. No. Just one or two thoughts in differing experiences then. In respect of these words of our text, you see, the Lord's dear people, when the Lord, let us begin, as it were, when the Lord will begin with us, when he will meet with us and show to us, dear friends, the awfulness of our nature and our lives, our hearts, how wicked they are, and how evil they are, and how vile and base we are, by our very birth and nature into this world. And yet Jesus began with us, dear friends. Isn't that God's richest mercy, dear friends? That he should come to any one of us. You see? And then I think of the preaching of Jesus. And those publicans and sinners heard him. And they came to where he was, to his house, to where he dwelt. And it was a marvel to the scribes and to the Pharisees. This man receiveth sinners. You see, What was the solemn truth in respect of those publicans and sinners and harlots that came to him? They'd been taught to know and to feel their sins, what they were by nature. They were bruised reeds, smoking flaxes, dear friends. Oh, that's what grace will do, dear friends. That is what the teaching of the Holy Spirit will do. That is where it will bring the poor soul, dear friends, on their knees, helpless, weak, insufficient, crying, begging, suing. You see, they came to Jesus, the whole, have no need of the physician. But it's those that are sick, dear friends, and they came to Jesus. And Jesus received them, didn't he? Yes. He had a cure. He had a cure. He that hath begun a good work. That good work, dear friends, will bring them to this place. The bruised reed, smoking flaxes. That is the work of grace, dear friends. That is how they came. They came with all their sinful hearts, all their wickedness, all their evil. But they came, dear friends. They had to come to Jesus. There was nothing else for their poor souls. There was no other remedy. And it's the sick that he came to heal. And that was the glorious truth, wasn't it? Another scripture that is fulfilled by Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Bruised! Ah, dear friends, he will not break the bruised reed. No. See how he came to them. Deliverance, mercy. He will not break the bruised reed, nor quench the smoking flax. This may be an encouragement for some poor soul this evening. With all your wretched and undone state and condition, know this dear man, if thou were to flee to him for a refuge, dear friends, the bruised reed and the smoking flax, he will never turn thee away. No, it's he that began with thee, and he will finish his work. A bruised reed shall he not break, smoking flax shall he not quench. And so then, dear friends, what is the mercy of the gospel? The blind have their eyes opened, the dead are raised to life, and are delivered from Satan unto God. That is the gospel, isn't it? And this is the blessing and the mercy. And then the Lord's dear people have to continue in their pilgrimage journey. Yes, they can rejoice in their salvation. Christ has espoused them to himself. Yes, and he will be all their care, all their keeping. His eye will always be upon them. They're the apple of his eye. And they will be able to say with a most sincere heart from time to time, my beloved is mine and I am his. Oh yes. No, he will not break the bruised reed nor quench the smoking flax. He will raise it up a little, dear friends. He'll bring thee near to him. He will. Oh, he's filled with pity and compassion, dear friends, for poor sinners. That is the mercy, isn't it? It is. Touched with the feeling of our infirmities, in all their afflictions he was afflicted. Yes. He saw those bruised reeds, didn't he? Labouring under the taskmasters of Egypt. Oh, they were crying, dear friends. They were afflicted. And he saw them and he said, and I'm come down to deliver them. Oh, he knew where they are. The bruised reeds and the smoking flaxes. He wasn't going to leave them there, dear friends. And he won't leave thy soul or my soul. No. A bruised reed shall he not break. Smoking flax shall he not quench. This is the mercy of our Lord, dear friends. And you know how I think quite often of poor Hannah. You know, I do love, dear friends, that narrative of poor Anna. And she had an adversary, and she couldn't bring forth, you see, a child. She was barren, and she had an adversary, and that afflicted her terribly, dear friends. Make no mistake about that. And she was a bruised reed and a smoking flax, oh, she was. But oh, see that dear woman. She typified Jesus, you know, his likeness. And that is what the church are, really. You know, she was reviled. She didn't revile again. She didn't turn against her adversary, did she? Neither did Jesus, did he? He was reviled, and he reviled not again. See the grace, dear friends. But see this bruised reed and smoking flax. See her at the throne of grace, dear friends. Oh, she knew the throne of grace. And these bruised reeds and smoking flaxes, dear friends, if there is a place, dear friends, that they know, it's the throne of grace. Oh, the publican knew the throne of grace. You see? And she knew the throne of grace. I know that we cannot enter into the trouble that she was in, dear friends, but I believe that she prayed and prayed and prayed, and for a very long time. But she waited upon the Lord. But what was the blessing from the Lord? He wouldn't break the bruised reed, dear friends, and quench the smoking flax. No. He held her up. What was her hope? It was the throne of grace, dear friends. And the Lord is always there, isn't he? Yes, and she knew it. She could always keep coming to him and coming to him and coming to him, and he will never get tired of her, will he? He won't. He will never tire of his poor people. You see, they've got a need of him. But he knows when to show mercy. He knows, dear friends, that day of glory that shall be to him. In the deliverance. And it was in her song, wasn't it? He killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth low and raiseth up. Dear friends, here's the bruised reed now. A song of praise upon her lips. The Lord had come to her. See how she patiently waited upon him. Is that your case, dear friends? Is it mine? To keep on, dear friends, to hold on. You see? It's faith in him, isn't it? Trusting in his name. One thing needful. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. And then, dear friends, yes, she was in trouble. But the Lord, he does come to his dear people. I thought of that Psalm 38, dear friends, and there's a word there. Perhaps I might speak from it sometime. I haven't spoken from it yet, but it's on my mind. In Psalm 38, David was in such deep trouble, dear friends, not only in respect of his bodily infirmities and his afflictions. He says, I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. He may have come into a fever or something like that, but his loins were filled with a loathsome disease, dear friends. And then on top of that, you know, when we're brought into times of sickness and affliction, dear friends, it's a time as well when, and it has been with myself, we're brought to look inward and see that more awful trouble than any bodily affliction, that sin that is within us. Also, the Lord seems to appear at that time to show to us that greater and more sore trouble of sin. And then he says, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Then he says, mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. Oh, dear friends, the poor man, what trouble he was in, you see. But oh, he says, oh Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. Oh, isn't that a wonderful word, dear friends? It's been on my mind for a week or two. In all his trouble, Lord, all my desire is before thee. What is all thy desire and my desire? All my desire, what is it, dear friend? It's Jesus, isn't it? In our right mind and in our heart of hearts, what is all our desire? It's Jesus, isn't it? It is. None other. And particularly in a time like this, loathsome disease and iniquities going over his head. It's only Jesus, isn't it? There's nobody else. And my groaning is not hid from thee. Isn't that a mercy? Oh, he knows our poor groanings, our sighings, our cryings, our mournings, our sorrowings. Oh, he knows all about them, dear friends. Oh, but that was a help to David. It supported him, really. It did support him. Why? Oh, this bruised reed, dear friends, wasn't going to be broken. The smoking flax wasn't going to be quenched. No. All my desire, Lord, all my desire is before thee. The Lord was his only hope, wasn't he? Yes. Have we got any other hope but Jesus, dear friends? For all our sicknesses, for all our troubles, for all our sins and afflictions that come in and upon us? Is there any, dear friends, can we turn to any other? We cannot. There is no other. But this is the promise. All my groanings are not hid from thee. Oh, Jesus knows all about them. Dear friends, he knows all about the trouble in our poor souls. He can see the sorrows within. We may sorrow and sympathize with those in sickness and disease, but we can't look into their hearts, dear friends, can we, like Jesus can? You see, he knows. And that was something that David knew. My groaning is not hid from thee. Why, dear friends, he groaned up to the Lord. All his groanings, all his affliction, all his sin and iniquity committed to the Lord. Or is there any other, dear friends? No. and this smoking flax here, dear friends, seem as if he'd come to the end of everything almost. Just read that Psalm 38, the poor man. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. All gone from him, dear friends, but his Lord hadn't gone. His Lord hadn't gone, you see. No, Jesus won't go away, dear friends. He won't break the bruised reed, quench the smoking flax. Oh, what a mercy we have in Jesus. Oh, is there any like unto him? A faithful and merciful high priest, isn't he, in those things that pertain unto God? Oh, he is, dear friends. Faithful because he'll never let his people down. He will always come to them. That is the mercy. The bruised reed shall he not break, nor quench the smoking flax. And then, dear friends, there may be the Lord's dear people. As we sang together in our first hymn, may come to the Lord's house, dear friends. You may come, dear friends, feeling so cold to spiritual things. Can't feel a love for Jesus. Can't feel a love for his word, a desire for his name. You feel to come so empty and unworthy, even an hypocrite at times, coming into the pews of the Lord's house, feeling so wretched. Yes. But this is just the place, isn't it, dear friends, where Jesus is pleased to visit his people, where he is pleased to come to their case and need, where he is pleased to come to the bruised reeds and smoking flaxes, raise them up to a flame, dear friends. Lift them up. David was in the wilderness. Oh, he wanted the Lord, dear friends. He wanted to feel and to know the Lord again. What was it that he wanted to know, dear friends? He said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. May seek the beauty of the Lord and inquire, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Oh, he was in that wilderness, dear friends, and how often. He was empty. He was thirsting, hungering, the poor man. But he wanted the Lord's house, and he wanted to behold the beauty of the Lord. What is it in the beauty of the Lord, dear friends? Well, in the tabernacle worship, dear friends, it was this. He wanted to see the sacrifices, the offerings. Why? Jesus. Oh, that was where his faith was, dear friends. He wanted to behold Jesus. And the priestly office, the priesthood, why? Well, because there he saw Jesus, and he saw that great high priest that was going to come, and he was going to make one offering forever for the sins and the iniquities of his people. You see, one offering. He saw the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, and the cherubims over the mercy seat, and where God abode, and amongst his people, spake to them, appeared for them, you see, showed his mercy to them. But then also, what was in the Ark of the Covenant, dear friends? Why, it was the tables of stone, dear friends. The, the commandments of the Lord. And he knew that he had broken them all, David did. But what was his comfort, dear friends? The mercy seat. Oh, and God could look upon him, you see, because, dear friends, of the blessing. Jesus came and fulfilled all that holy law of God for him. And David was a breaker of it, wasn't he? Poor man. And so were we. Dear friends, so were we. But Jesus, that one that came and fulfilled the law, made it honourable. Yes, in respect of God the Father, but for his people also, as if we had never broken it. Behold the beauty of the Lord. That is where David wanted to come. He wanted again to see the blessing of his whole salvation again in Jesus, didn't he? Yes, that's what he wanted. Yes. A bruised reed, smoking flax. He won't destroy. He did come ultimately, didn't he? Oh yes, he came again. Beheld all the wondrous offerings of the tabernacle worship, and he beheld his Christ. Well, dear friends, perhaps you've come to the Lord's house feeling like David, and the Lord has appeared. Oh, this one came to seek and to save lost sinners. It raises up the spirit, doesn't it? Draws the soul near to Christ. Christ and him crucified. Why? Because he was in the room and the place of the sinner, you see. And it was a vicarious death, wasn't it? He didn't come and do anything for himself, you see. No, it was all for others. We've seen it, we've read it in our reading together. What he did for so many. And he was despised and rejected of so many. But what a mercy to have an interest in Jesus. To come to his house of prayer, and perhaps he has come and met our case and need in the gospel. A testimony and a witness again of his everlasting love to our souls, that he has given us a love visit, dear friends. That is what David wanted. And the Lord does come to the bruised reeds and smoking flaxes. What a mercy. I have known it in experience myself. And the minister, dear friends, has come. He's lifted up my poor soul, met my need in the gospel. Jesus will not break the bruised reed nor quench the smoking flax. No. And then we have poor Job. All his afflictions, all his troubles. And then his friends that came to him seemed to aggravate his case, didn't they? And yet see that wonderful time and season that the Lord appeared to him. It was a bruised reed and a smoking flax, dear friend. He had so much to contend with, you know. But oh, see this wonderful truth, dear friends. I'll read it because it is such a wonderful word. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. You know, this is the gospel, isn't it? It's the gospel. This pure and holy gospel here shown to us. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Oh, the wonderful vision that he had in his poor soul of his dear Redeemer. Oh, the Lord did not break the bruised reed and quench the smoking flax, did he? No, he didn't. He came to him, gave him a little visit, you see, and he does come to his dear people. Well, this is the mercy that we have in the Lord. He will not break the bruised reed, nor quench the smoking flax. No. And I thought of that wonderful letter that the Lord wrote to those Hebrew Christians, so persecuted, so tried in respect of their faith and the gospel that they'd heard and received into their poor souls, a witness of the triumph that the Lord gave to them at Calvary's cross. You see, the victory that he gave to them. And yet those that came and persecuted them, and dear friends, oh, they were laid low, you see. And David, Paul writing to them, he wrote a wonderful epistle to them, and showing clearly how that this Jesus was going to be that one to fulfill all the types and the shadows, dear friends, of the Old Testament worship. Or did he not start to revive them, you see, bring them near to Jesus? They were ready almost to apostatize, you see, so troubled they were and persecuted. But then, this truth, they were those whom the Lord had saved and redeemed. And through this epistle, I believe it comforted their poor souls. And he says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And it is a race, dear friends. It will be through thick and thin, dear friends, one trouble, trial, and another that we shall be passing through. Paul was pressing toward the mark, dear friends. Trouble on every hand, you see. And not only trouble with enemies, oh, but that what he found and discovered in his own poor soul. Many obstacles in there, dear friends, to obstruct us in the way to heaven. Oh, there is. Oh, but look, dear friends. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto him only, the author and the finisher of our faith, you see. Oh, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then this precious word, dear friend, this can lift you up. This can lift up the poor soul, dear friends, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, or lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Look to him, consider him, dear friends. This can lift up thy poor soul. This can strengthen thy poor soul. This can bring thy soul near to Jesus, you see. Oh, he will not break the bruised reed nor quench the smoking flax. What did Paul write to them? And it was a wonderful word. Why, he says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. That's where they come, dear friends, the true and the living God. And Paul, in this letter, oh, what a reviving there is in it. What a restoring there is in it. But what is it in it for us, dear friends? That is where we come, just the same. Through all our troubles and trials, persecutions, dear friends, opposites that we might meet with, we come here. It cannot be taken away from us. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, those that have gone before us, Lord, dear friends, those that are now with their Lord, in perfect harmony, peace in their souls, the spirits of just men made perfect. We may know them, dear friends. There are those that have gone up from here to be with their Lord. And they came through all the afflictions and the troubles and the trials here. Yes, they were bruised reeds and smoking flaxes, but they got to heaven, dear friends. They got to heaven. And the Lord brought them there. Why? Because he will not break the bruised weed. No. And then, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Isn't that the blessing? Isn't that, the, as it were, the top stone? Grace unto it. Jesus, the mediator. Oh, of the new covenant, Jesus. Just see that bruised reed and that smoking flax. That one beside Jesus on the cross. See, dear friends, oh, he had been taught and known that he was a sinner. He duly deserved to be where he was. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, he was a bruised reed and a smoking flax, dear friends. That's what he was. A bruised reed. Oh, but see his faith in Jesus. Oh, what faith it was, dear friends. Why, Jesus was already a dying man upon the cross. But his faith, dear friends, was fixed in that work that he came to do. He knew that through his death that he would save his people from their sins, that they would be raised up from death unto life. You see, oh, he knew that, I believe. And he knew that, yes, he would rise again from the dead when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, dear friends, his poor soul must have opened up in raptures. Though he was hanging on a cross. Today thou shalt be with me. Yes. He will not break the bruised reed nor quench the smoking flax. No, we may come into some desperate conditions, dear friends. Oh, but Jesus knows how to deal with his little children. Oh, he does, dear friends. A bruised reed shall he not break. And all these bruised reeds and smoking flaxes, dear friends, Jesus will bring us all to heaven. Oh, he will. It will be a struggle. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Where did he overcome the world, dear friends? He overcame the world for us at Calvary. Oh, it is there that he conquered and overcame. It is there that he gave the church the victory, put all their sins away, and through his precious blood made a way to heaven for sinners. And yes, for the chief of sinners. There is an encouragement then, in the, just very briefly mention the last words, because this is an encouragement for any seeking soul. Till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Well, dear friends, this judgment unto victory is the whole of the gospel. It's the work that Jesus came to do. And he did not fail dear friends, in the work that his heavenly Father gave him to do. The words in Isaiah chapter 42 says this of him: he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have brought judgment, you see. And that judgment has come. Jesus in the gospel. And we have all the blessed truth of the gospel today. What is thy case and need, dear friends? It's all in Jesus. Yes. What he came to do for sinners. And that is the judgment, dear friends. Yes, he came to separate his people from this world, from their sins, from Satan, dear friends, and from all their own wicked works, you see, and to gather them to himself. This is the gospel. This is the judgment, dear friends. But then the hope in this word. It's a judgment unto victory. Oh, it's the victory that Jesus gave to his church and people at Calvary. And the victory is, dear friends, that they will all come to heaven. Oh, yes, dear friends, all these bruised reeds and smoking flaxes will all come to heaven. This is the flock of slaughter, dear friends, trudging on and struggling their way through. Yes, sin and iniquity and evil and wickedness and opposition. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. It means really, dear friends, that the gospel, it is determined more or less that the greater blessing will come to the Gentiles. The Jews, dear friends, they cast him off, saw him as a man of naught. I'm not saying that Jews aren't saved today. No, I'm not saying that. But the greater blessing is to the Gentiles. You see that when Paul entered into the synagogues in the Acts of the Apostles, when he entered into the synagogues, he spake to the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews turned their back upon him, but the Gentiles received him. Oh, dear friend, this is sovereign grace. You see, God's sovereign choice of some from lost mankind. But in his name shall they trust. It means all their hope is in Jesus. And we have got no other hope, dear friends, than that Jesus will bring us to heaven. I cannot, dear friends, trust in anything else, not myself. Only in what Jesus has done, his merits and his person, to get my poor soul to heaven. You know, I don't know whether I've mentioned it, but a few weeks ago, dear friends, I felt the awfulness of my sins and iniquities, and I said, Lord, how can I get to heaven with such a heart as this? It's here, dear friends. He will not break the bruised reed nor quench the smoking flax. Why, dear friends? Because he'll bring the poor soul through and bring them to heaven. Yes. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Philip Warren is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Izzard next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 593. Jesus is a mighty Saviour, helpless souls of here a friend. He has borne their misbehaviour and his mercy knows no end. O ye helpless, come and on his grace depend. 593.
bless all that has been attended to this evening in thy name. Pardon and forgive everything that has been amiss, sinful with us. Take us to our homes in peace and safety. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.